Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And this is going to be a wonderful show today. I think we're just going to, instead of splitting our show up today, we're just going to go right on through. And time of year here, we're starting to get come out of the cold weather season, depending on where you are. I hope you're enjoying your new year and getting started for the rest of the year. And time is a flying by. They say when you get older, it flies. And I just think it's just whizzing by, maybe with the internet and everything happening. But I'm feeling it. But this is going to be really fun today. We're going to actually do the whole show on moving. Bet you never thought this could happen to you. There's so many things we're going to talk about today. And tips to be safe and secure also when moving. So it's moving can be so exciting, and preparing to move into your new place from another place. But we're so busy today, and lots of times things get by us that we aren't thinking about when we're so busy and we're just trying to get that stuff done that we don't do every day. So if your company is not moving you, or the military isn't moving you, the military has such a phenomenal system with moving people and everything so organized. But so if they're not moving you, they have it down to a science, and the companies they hire and how they do it. So listen in to prepare, save time, money, and most of all, have peace of mind. I didn't realize how many horror stories are out there until I actually had one happen to me in a move. And there's so many easy ways to prevent them. We always say, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but it really is, and it can be very costly and stressful. So today I'm privileged to have Gail Herskovitz is joining us today, who has been, she's been many, many businesses. She's so interesting. I'm really thrilled to have her today. And when it comes to moving, she's getting ready. She's in the middle of a big move, and she is the best person to talk about moving today. She has been in the same home for over 40 years, involved in many businesses, which led to accumulating quite a lot to organize. You know, it seems like I've moved quite a bit between Hawaii, Maryland, and back and forth in other places. And, you know, you tend to get rid of a lot when you're moving if you're not planning to take it. But if you've been in the same place for many years, especially over 40, there's a lot to be involved before you're going to make that move. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Gail Herskovitz. Hey, Gail.
Hey, it's good to be here with you. I hope I can shine some light on some of my experience recently.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, Gail, how am I pronouncing your last name? Is it Herskovitz? Herskovitz?
It's Herskovitz.
Herskovitz. Okay, so I was Grover.
Yeah,
okay,
there
good.
We go.
Good. Very good. You have had, we'll get into a lot of the businesses. You have done a lot. This is so exciting. I look at mine's been real estate for 31 years, you know, in all different phases. But, I mean, your life has been extremely interesting with, I'm going to go through some of it in the show, but you've done pet therapy, you've done Gail gourmet businesses, you've started, I mean, so innovative. I mean, you've had quite a huge, your bio is huge here. I'm really, really impressed. And it looks like you've been in the same home for over 40 years. Tell us a little bit about the history, because right now you've decided to move, right?
Right. So you want the history, a little bit about
just,
kind of, the house,
yeah, a little
where
bit about
I live,
your history,
or?
So that a little bit about your history,
okay.
And then you bought your home and your house. You've got a pretty
okay.
large home, and you know, so just
all
accumulation,
right.
Yeah, because I think it's good for our listeners to hear, and your story is really incredible.
Okay, well, I had big dreams, and I moved when I was 27 years old from an efficiency apartment to this 24-room Victorian mansion in the first planned neighborhood in the United States. And it was a daunting task, and I remember when I moved in, the first day I got my keys, I remembered how big the house was and how I was going to fill it up.
Wow,
that's huge. Actually, 38 years later, here I am, you know, with such a major, problem because, you know, of all of the accumulation and not getting rid of things. So the way in which I was able to have my home was I rented out two of the floors to young professional women, and consequently, a lot of them didn't have very much money. So I was like furnishing the apartments, and consequently, I really never got rid of that stuff. And then you mentioned my businesses. I was not only with, you know, food service, catering, but also I was a recreation therapist. So for me, I needed to accumulate a lot of resources, and I did so over the years, and then I never got rid of it. And then another layer was my mom moved into my house in 2003 from a 3,000-square-foot house to my house. So everything at that point became really unmanageable because
wow.
She didn't throw much away and I hadn't thrown much away. So anyway, and then, you know, I had some other, you know, physical limitations. And
it
became, you know, unmanageable and out of control, which brings me to where I am today, is, you know, trying to get rid of, keep what I think I need and donate, you know.
Well, so. Let's see. What is your house? Okay, so your house is, how many, you said it's 30, how many rooms is it?
It's 24 rooms.
24
it's three
rooms.
Floors. Yeah, three okay. floors. It was divided into three apartments when I moved. I had no prior experience. You know, I was 27. I had no prior experience with rentals or anything else. It was just a lot of nerve, and I learned as I went
Fantastic.
Along.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
And
it
being a
really
woman
good.
back then, it was a lot mm-hmm. more difficult. You know, now it's much easier for us to go buy properties and do things. That's nice, really great.
Well, and yes, and they, because I was 27 and it was a long time ago, they refused to give me a loan, and I complained that they were discriminating because I was a single woman, and I eventually did get my loan. So, I mean, it's like you make a little noise and, you know, sometimes it, you know, works in your favor, which it did for me at that point in time, so.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. So so now, though, in moving, you've accumulated a lot, and you said, I know in talking to you, you said your mom had passed and you were going to donate or books. I think you said your mom was very, very instrumental. I'll let you tell the audience about that with astrology and
right.
Yeah, tell us that story, but because
okay.
it's a lot.
Okay, my mom was like a world famous astrologer, very well connected in the astrological community, as was I. And throughout her life, her passion was teaching and collecting books. And she collected one of the most important astrological collections
wow.
with books that are like no longer in print. And it was her wish upon her death that these books would go to an astrological college in Washington State called Kepler College. At the time she passed, Kepler College was pretty new and they were struggling financially. But as it turns out, 7 years later, I made this decision, you know, recently, I contacted Rob Hand. He's the world's most famous astrologer, who was a friend of my mom, who was the chair of Kepler College, and asked them if they wanted the books. And they were so thrilled. And, you know, it's interesting because I believe that, you know, when things are supposed to flow, they do. And if we try to kind of make something work where it's not supposed to happen, you know, we keep getting, I think, messages over and over that maybe that's not the right direction. So I knew that this was going to be a good thing. And as it turned out, I had already contacted a mover. I had done a lot of research, and I can tell you about that in a minute, but I contacted this mover who came out to my house to actually give me an idea of what it was going to cost me, or just the idea about moving my stuff. I did speak to him about the library, but at that point in time, I was not really... It just never occurred to me that maybe they could move the library separately. And what happened was I was very favorably impressed, and I can kind of tell you a couple of things that I learned about, you know, the movers and moving, because it can be a nightmare. And for me, this is the first time I've ever made a major move in my life. So I wanted to get it right, but, you know, we're never sure we do. So what I did is I contracted this mover to come and pack her books, her astrological collection, and I made this a separate move to go to Washington State. And I was kind of doing that because this move was going to be a much smaller move, and I figured, well, I can kind of test the mover out to see whether they are going to be responsible. And
to give them a small job, before a large, that's a good idea.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, so apparently, you know, that move has taken place. It was like the way it was supposed to work out. I got a very good deal on it because I was doing a second move. But anyway, so that's kind of how, you know, we got the astrological collection.
So what are they going to do with it? They're going to start a scholarship fund, or what are they going to do?
Okay, so they have a physical library, and within the physical library, there will be a room that will just be devoted to my mother's collection. It's like an important American collection of astrology books. I also had a metaphysical, one of the first metaphysical stores in the United States, opening in 1976 in Ellicott City. When I closed the store, I kept my stock. So, again, I had all
you
of
kept
this
everything.
Stuff. What was like, yeah, and I kept everything. Crystal balls, you know, tarot cards, amulets, jewelry, whatever. And I asked the school whether they would like to have it. And as it turns out, the school has been selling extra books and this, that, and the other thing to kind of make money to keep the library open, to keep the school afloat. So for them, this was like Christmas, because they were going to be getting all of this store stock. I think my mom had bought, like, I think I sent over 1,000 tarot decks, which, you know, as they sell them. So their plan is that the money will go not only to help the school, but it will fund a scholarship fund in my mother's name. And when
What's
I spoke
with
the press, my mom's name was Margie Herskovitz. And and the president said the other day of the school, Enid Newberg, she said that my mom's name would be plastered over everything. And one of the things that my mom, one of the very special recognitions that she got, you know, the astrological community has actually four important organizations, and my mother was active in all of them. I too was very active, but once every 4 years, all of the organizations get together and kind of honor astrologers that they think, you know, have gone beyond the call of duty. And in 2008, right before my mom passed, my mother won the coveted Community Service Award, and more than 3,000 astrologers voted for her to win that award. So, yes, that was, you know, and her life, as I said, was, you know, devoted to astrology, collecting books, teaching, and just helping, you know, helping forward the understanding and how, you know, astrology can actually help people rather than, you know, some people have had unfortunate experiences where, you know, they've been taken advantage of. But, you know, it's respectable in terms of the way you use it. So anyway, so that, you know, that piece was my mom. And, of course, she worked with me with the store. We both taught. She taught astrology. I taught tarot. and, you know, we did consultations at the store. And, you know, at that point in time, either she or I were the ones that were kind of in Baltimore anyway, that were kind of
cutting edge back then.
Yeah, it was cutting edge back then. In fact, before I opened my store, I had to check with the police department because there was a little known law that said doing readings and so forth and so on was against the law, and I needed to make sure.
Really?
When I opened my store. Yeah, really. So I needed to make sure when I opened my store, because it was like so long ago, you know, in 76, that I was going to be under the letter of the law, because at that point in time, this was only a part-time venture for me. I was full-time, worked in mental health, you know, as a recreation therapist. So I could not do anything to jeopardize my, you know, my work. And then when I did radio, I did television, as did my mom. And so
Baltimore,
the television,
charity for Baltimore Museum, Art, Maryland Science Center, Visionary Art. I'm looking at
money.
All this. And,
we raised money for, like, you know, any organization that contacted us. We usually, you know, provided readers free of charge. And, you know, it was just like a fun thing for people. They had a little introduction to, you know, what metaphysics was all about. And, you know, and it was good. You know, we benefited. We benefited the organizations, and you know, that was part of our mission, part of our goal.
That's fantastic. And you did the, and you know, I see you, and you're Christian too, so you kind of tied in.
Well, yes, and then I kind of finally made peace with that. Actually, not that long ago, realizing that, you know, God gives us all kinds of things in order for us to understand life better. Astrology is a body of knowledge. It's not instead of, you know, our connection with God or who, you know, or who is our, you know, our creator. But he gives us information so that we can plan, so we can walk, so we can understand better our relationships, better our, you know, in terms of what we do, you know, where we work, how we work. And that's been a really positive thing. And, you know, all of us can kind of, you know, I think most of us understand that, you know, there are certain things that we have natural abilities for, but sometimes we want to do different things. And what happens is, when we go against the grain, or we go against maybe what, you know, the astrological card is, chart is called a birth print, and when we go against the birth print, it doesn't really flow for us. But when we understand what the birth print is, we can kind of tap into those resources, and, you know, be more successful. Be more you know, be happy.
Yeah, listen to your heart. And I always say listen to your heart and go through. And,
exactly.
Yeah, so So I'm going over so that was quite a lot. Your mother's collection, and that's wonderful what's going to happen. And she's going to be paying it forward and helping with Scotland. It's just, I love it. So that took up probably a good portion of your home, right? A few rooms probably. It was quite a lot of books.
Actually not.
Oh, okay.
About,
we have a lot
took
more.
About like, yeah, about, yeah, like two, yeah, right. It just made a small dent. But, you know, the problem is when you are tackling moving is that mm-hmm. you have to have space in order to organize. And if you don't have the space in order to organize, you know, it becomes a nightmare. So,
can I mention with your not to interrupt, but I just want to with your move and what brought you to this move, because a lot of people because we're going to go through our show is an hour. We always need a couple days for these types of shows. I tell you, it goes by so fast. What brought you to the move, because you're not mobile to be able to get up and get around, and you know, if you could tell the audience a little bit about, because I know, imagine with so much over 40 years. You collect things. You've had businesses. There's so many things you have to decide what's really important, what momentums do I want to take, what do I want to get rid of, what, you know, there's just, and it's probably so many memories going through this, right, I would think. Tell our listeners a little bit about what brought you to this point in the last couple of years physically, you know, what happened to you so that you you really need to move. Your house isn't going to work for you at this point.
Right. Well, some things began to happen in 2010, and at that point in time, you know, physically, I had like an unexpected hospitalization. It was all okay, but I remember telling my husband at that point in time that we were going to have major changes ahead. And what scrolling forward, and what happened was, is that he had some problems which took him out of the state medically and otherwise. And I also unexpectedly, I had an injury. I didn't seek medical attention, and I lost my foot in 2014.
Your knee, down from your knee, right? Because you're of an infection?
my foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I knew in 2010 that I was going to be making a change. In 2011, I began to look for a house. My sister lives, she lives in another state, and she thought it would probably be best if I moved to that state, so she needed to look after me. As it turned out, I was like, okay, but I did begin to look. And I found a house. So what happened was, is I was planning to move, and this was like back in 2012, and then everything kind of changed here in Baltimore with, with my physical condition. I lost my foot, and so I realized now, like in 2014, that, you know, I needed to get rid of my house because it was not handicapped accessible. You know, if I was going to sell it, you know, and I tried to make renovations that made it handicap accessible, it would like ruin, you know, the integrity of the house and the charm, the historic charm that people would be wanting to buy into that neighborhood. So I've had to live in a situation mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. handicap accessible. So I began, actually, I began the daunting process of trying to get somebody to just kind of be with me there so I could go through things, so I could just decide what it was that, you know, I want to keep. I mean, basically, when you're, like, approaching, you know, a move, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to need to throw away. And at the point in time where I was facing that, I couldn't think that I wanted to throw anything away because everything still had value to me. But, you know, it's a process that, you know, people need to kind of go through, and it's not quick. It does not move quickly. But, you know, you need to decide, you know, you're going to either some things that you want to keep, some things you know you need to trash, some things mm-hmm. that you want to donate. And what I did is I had a fourth pile, and the fourth pile were those things that I wanted to revisit. Because sometimes, you know, you think you want to keep something or you want to move something, but then you realize when you get closer to the time, it's not practical. Mm-hmm. So because of my physical limitations, and I was really not able to, you know, get through the house, I was able to only get to the first and the second floor. Mm-hmm. And by this time, in 2014, I had rented an additional garage in addition to the garage that I had. And the reason that I rented, it was next door to me, and the reason I rented the garage is because I was planning to use that garage to take the things that I knew that I wanted to move, you know, to my house, you know, in the other state, so that I could make. What happened was, you know, at that point in time, I didn't really have the help. And so I, like, struggled to try to find, you know, people that could help me. And I don't know if you want me to kind of, like, talk about
whatever,
the companies
sure.
and so forth. Yeah, okay. So my sister had told me that there are companies that deal with quarter. And I did not like the idea of being called a hoarder. I mean, I think I was, like, more a collector, but, you know, and that was kind of difficult to kind of
go through
listen
that.
To. And when I found, and when I found out these companies that specialize in hoarding or clutter cleanup, as they call it, they are exorbitantly expensive.
Wow.
I mean, unbelievably expensive. And I had one company come in. Do you want me to say how much they wanted to charge?
You can say whatever.
I mean, sometimes
I know, absolutely. Yeah. Just probably not with the name, maybe not mention the name
for people.
I think everything. I just say just the name sometimes may not, if there were any issues, you know, but yeah.
Right. So one company wanted to charge $15,000 for a 9-day job.
Wow.
Now, this was not a 9-day job, and I knew that at the time. Another company said they were going to bring 17 people in, and they could handle it in 3 days, and that would be over $20,000.
Mm.
Now, you see, there's a difference between, and this is what, you know, I kind of learned in my process, and I'm still going through the process. There's a difference between a trash out and clutter cleanup. But they don't tell you that. So when I began with this company, and the first couple of crews that I had, I could tell that they were like trash out mentality. Of course, at that time, I still had my mom's library there, and I had, you know, a lot of my stuff that was, you know, tucked away. I had also, you know, had started selling on eBay, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago. I was doing very well, so I had a lot of that stuff as well. So much of the things that I had, you know, were brand new with tags that I did not want to end up in a dumpster.
Right.
So,
right.
And when you hire a company, the thing of it is that what I knew that I needed, Natalie, is I knew that I needed labor because I was pretty organized, even despite the fact everything was so disorganized. But I needed labor for people to move things from here to there, here to outside. One of the reasons that I chose the company that I did, because a lot of companies will use dumpsters on your property. I don't want a dumpster. Because
with your neighborhood,
only my neighborhood, I don't want to draw attention. You were talking about, remember you were saying about safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
And safety and security is number one for me. So you have a dumpster on your property. People know that something's happening there. The company that I ended up hiring, they came with a box truck. So anything that was taken out of my house, which was either trash or donation, went into a sealed vehicle and left the property
good.
That day.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Which I think is a very important thing for somebody to consider. I mean, sometimes a dumpster, you know, after everything is said and done and you're totally out of your house and maybe it's a final, that would be okay. But I, you know, because I'm going through the process, I did not want that there. So that was huge for me. The other thing was, is I realized after I worked with the crews, the first, well, and I have a nightmare story with that, but when I worked with the crews the first couple of days, I realized that they were about the clock and
mm-hmm.
they were about trashing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not respectful of my property. And that's like really, really important. The other thing that I was assured is that usually companies that do this, they assure you that people that are working for them are not going to be accepting anything. They're not going to be accepting items that you might want to give them, money or anything. I think that's
yeah.
also important. So what
very
happened
important.
Was is the very – I'm sorry?
No, very, very important.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Very important.
Yeah.
So what happened the very first day was one of the people of the crew, prior to ever going in my house, he said to me, his grandparents had a antique business and maybe I was interested in selling some stuff. One of the other people, when they were in my house, they noticed that I had something that I wanted to get rid of, and he said, can I have it?
Mm.
And I approached him, yeah, because that was really not in terms of what I was assured when I met with the owner of the company who
right.
was giving me
right.
the estimate. The other thing is that because of my physical situation, I have to sometimes give people keys to open something up. And as it turns out, one of the people must have taken my keys because they were not returned to the place that I told them to return it to. I believe that person came back to my house and took some things because where I eventually found the keys was in an entirely different location and the drawer had been rifled through and that would have been a drawer with credit cards and that kind of stuff, you know, old credit
cards.
That's
horrible.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. yes, but what I did was, is I kind of like used all of this information to kind of like renegotiate my contract because when they come in and they give you an estimate, you sign a contract and it's for the exact number of days that they estimate the job will be done. And if the job goes over that estimate, you have to pay per diem, which could be like anywhere from $1,200 to $1,500 a day. So here you signed a contract, and maybe it's for like 10 days, but if you don't finish it in that 10 days, you're left with a project that's unfinished. You've spent a lot of money, and then you're kind of like, you know, in a compromising situation where you know, your financial exposure is really unlimited. At that point,
how do you check the people out? That's the thing: is how do we check these people out? How do we know that they're okay?
Okay.
How do we know the purpose they're hiring are okay?
Well, I did like a lot of research on the internet, and then I did a lot of questions. You know, when I actually talked to someone, the company that I eventually decided to go with, I met with them twice. And because of some of the problems to begin with, I was able to negotiate, you know, a better contract where I'm going to be assured that the job is done in full. So I think when somebody is approaching this, they need to get not an open-ended contract, but a closed-ended contract. They need to get an amount that no matter how long it takes, this is all they're going to be spending. The other thing, the company provided boxes, they provided tape, but the thing that they did not provide originally was, because my situation was a little different because I was planning to move and I needed things packed.
So a lot of people are just saying and trying to get rid of things, yeah.
Yeah, and that was not actually included on the estimate.
But how do you, because we've got about 25 minutes left on the show. We go by so fast. It's so, you know, so right now, I know it goes by so fast because I think your house, so you have, right now, do they have half of it finished, do you think? Is it three quarters of the way finished?
I would say it's probably 40% finished.
Okay. And you, I wanted to stop over to a couple things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I also wanted to tell you about the mover and the mover experience. You know, when I contacted my mover, apparently, you know, every mover is different. But the movers that I actually decided to go with, and the reason I decided was because even though the movers do cross-country moving, the movers were located in Baltimore, and I like that. The other thing was, what's very important to me is communication and being able to reach somebody during business hours and not during business hours, and that was possible with this company.
There's a lot of go ahead, I'm sorry, Linda.
No, and the other thing that they assured me is that because my move was cross country, and because of the amount of stuff I had in the house, I asked whether the move could be broken up into two segments, where I could have a first pickup and a second pickup. Now, most people don't know to ask that, but most movers will do that. The mover agreed to give me 30 days of storage, which meant that from the first pickup to the second pickup, I had 30 days free. I said, I don't think 30 days is going to be enough for me. And what they do is they charge you for the additional days based on the cubic feet that your move is going to be. So if it says it's like, say it's 2,000 cubic feet, then the extra month is going to be half of that. I think it's going to be like $1,000 a month for extra storage. What I was able to negotiate was to get a 45-day window from pickup one to pickup two.
Great.
And you have to ask with no additional charge. The other thing, a lot of movers, they charge a shuttle service. If they can't get the big truck either in front of your house or behind your house or accessible, they have to put all of your items onto a smaller truck, and they call that a shuttle, and they charge you for that. I think anything over 75 feet becomes a shuttle charge. This particular company that I'm dealing with does not have a shuttle charge, which was another thing. Because what happens is when people go into a moving estimate, they get like kind of a loose estimate, but then they nickel and dime you at the end. When they come, and most movers, when they come and they're packing up your furniture or whatever, they actually charge you for pads, you know, for the moving blankets,
material, tape,
and they charge you for taping. This company does not.
So
that
really
was another thing that was very, these are all questions, you know, that someone needs to ask. So, you know, these were things that were making me much more comfortable. And the other thing is there is something between, there's a difference between a full pack and a partial pack. A full pack is when they come in and they pack up your entire house. A partial pack is when they come in and just pack up maybe, you know, a bathroom or a kitchen or whatever. But the way they determine the partial pack as to the full pack is that, you know, it's based on so many boxes. So if it say, for instance, there are going to be like 150 boxes in your move, and they have to pack more than 50 boxes, then they call that a full pack.
So we're going to we're running out of time, unfortunately. I know our show goes by so fast. It's just that I want to go over some of the horror stories and some of the tidbits and details that people want to definitely never skimp on. This has been so interesting and what you're doing, and I get, and it seems like it's got to be emotional in the sense that you're going through so many 40 years of memories, right? Of what you're taking and what you're not taking.
You know what I found was harder than anything. Going through my mom's stuff was not that bad, but now going through my things, that's a lot different. So, and it's not going, the last few times was not going as quickly. So I think that's something that, you know, people need to kind of, you know, keep in mind, you know.
Favor that and it's favor hard. That. I want to go into a few different things just because we've got about a little bit left. I want to go through some things on moving. As Gail was saying, you know, you want to make sure that you have a contract. You don't want an open-ended contract. You want a closed contract. So, you know, it's really important. Are they going to pack you? Or are they going to itemize? Are they going to put together an inventory list? If they're not.
Oh, and this is the other thing. Let me just chime in here. This particular moving company has, like, what they call a very unique inventory system. They have like, little labels that is just specific for your move that goes on your box.
That's great. Because
yes.
are they mixing yours in with other people's moves?
Yes.
They're not mixing it.
Because
every
truck, big truck that goes out has more than one person's move on it. But because all of these labels are specific to your particular, you know, your particular move, everything is kept together if it goes to the warehouse and it's in storage. You know, your stuff is together.
That's important. I'm going to switch us over to this in a minute because we only have about 15 minutes left. Do you believe 45 minutes went by already?
I can't.
We go by fast. So I think it's really important. I want to point out some things, and I'm going to tell you a situation that happened to me. I want to point out that you definitely, if you're using a national, if you're going across state lines, the company has to have insurance. They have to offer you insurance. They have to have a DOT number, which is Department of Transportation number. They have to be licensed. The ones in state have to be licensed, too, and each state has different rules. A couple things. It's really smart to plan your move. If you're doing a local move in your state, in your area, do it in the morning. I wouldn't schedule a late afternoon move because then you're into the wee morning hours and many other problems can transpire. It's really important to take your time and not rush through the move. Call the Better Business Bureau. Do as Gail was saying. Check on the internet. Look for reviews. Get references. Take your time in deciding who you're using. Call more than one company. Get different estimates. Try to get these estimates in writing. A lot of the companies say, hey, we just charge, you know, $169 an hour, and then we're going to charge you a trip charge and da-da-da-da, but they're not giving you a good estimate, you know, and they can really run that up pretty high. It's just really important because if you're not going to itemize, sometimes you have situations like, and I'll get into that in a second, if you're not going to itemize all of your items and not be able to label every single box if you're doing a local move, you could have different scenarios, which I'll mention. It's even number. Take a magic marker and number those boxes so you know if the moving company's moving 50, 100 boxes, or 20. If you don't number it and you don't know, how are you going to know at the end? It's really, really important. So I just want to run through because I know me. I've been in real estate for over 31 years, and I had a situation where I had two storage bins, one a 20 by 10 and another 5 by 7, you know, whole house of furniture plus part of a second house. Called a local company and was told that they're locally owned. I asked if they run background checks. They said they do. Subsequently, they were supposed to be at the storage place by 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They didn't get there until 4. And I was getting scammed from the moment of. I should have paid somebody else to monitor the move, but I didn't think it would be take that long, and I didn't think it would be much of a problem. The four movers that showed up said, oh, it's going to be too much stuff. We're going to be here all night. We want to quit this company. The company only cares about. They were just very unprofessional. And this was a professional moving company, known with, you know, as a professional company. Come to find out, they also have franchises all around the country. And at the time I thought, well, gosh, they're overworked. Why didn't they send another crew? Why are they sending these guys if these guys have been working since this morning? But come to find out later, they were scamming me. And the bill should have been around $1,000. They tried to charge over $2,000. I went down to like $1,800. It was a nightmare move. Some things were broken. Very, very unprofessional. One of the guys kept trying to hit on me. It was just, I couldn't believe. I was like, oh, I should have canceled. And you feel like, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm a business person. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to be, but we can all get rushed and all be busy. And who thinks that this professional company supposedly is going to handle things this way? And it would just went on and on. So I'm telling this quickly kind of because we're going towards the end of the show and I want to get back to what you were talking about too. But they basically ended around midnight. It was horrible. I had the worst headache. Things were in disarray. And I get a call from the storage company the next morning. And they said a bunch of my boxes, 9, 10, 11 boxes, were thrown in a hall. And I thought that I said, I'll be there in a couple hours. I thought what I was going to find was, you know, that they left trash and left a mess around. But I didn't see anything because I checked everything, and my units were on the third floor. These items were found on the first floor. When I got there a few hours later, the storage company called the police, and what I found was these guys had been taking whatever boxes were personal that they wanted to rummage through. They were taking them on the first floor down through the corridor to go to another side of the storage company to root through all my stuff. And many more things are gone. And so luckily all of this was was obtained on camera in the storage in the front because they were instead of going out of the elevator on the first floor to their truck, they were four of them. All four of them were in it. When you look at the cameras and you looked at everything, you could see they were all in it taking boxes through the side doors on the first floor. I'm going to tell you, that's a total nightmare, total nightmare. All checking accounts had to be closed in different states, identity theft thing, a total nightmare. It's the worst feeling, and these people know where you live, you know, knew where I lived, and it's horrible. And so I want to mention these things because it's easy for people to say, well, you should have done this, or you should have done that, or I would never do that, and of course I would do this, and go, well, I don't believe it with everybody because a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands. So, of course, they're going to go ahead and have time to get everything totally organized. And in that sense, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of trust. We want to have trust out there. And it's just getting to the point where we can't trust a lot of people. And it's really important to take the time. And me, I kept thinking, if I would have just even taken a magic marker and numbered all those boxes, I would have at least known how many boxes made it back and how many boxes didn't. A lot of my items were in storage for 2 years, so I know there would still be items that I'm not even going to know that are gone until I go looking for the item. So I really wanted to get in and do the show, too, to teach people about protect yourselves. You don't always know who the movers are. You don't know if they have records. I went and looked, Googled information nationally on this company because I didn't realize they had franchises, and there's 400 and some complaints were up about them and the other states, and some of them were horrible. One, actually, a lady was complaining, and said that one of the guys was cussing at her, and she called the manager, and then the guy came back and apologized later and said that he was sorry. He had just gotten out in the world, and he'd been in the penitentiary for a while. True stories. I mean, these are true stories. So there, you can Google and find a lot of horror stories and think, hey, this isn't going to happen to me, but it does, and it can. So the movers have to be licensed in your state. They have different. There's different rules in each state. There is American Movers Association. You can look up also to try to find movers. It's really a great idea to, if you're moving locally, to talk to friends, talk to people, word of mouth, get references. Don't take it lightly. Because you don't want to be on the other side of a criminal activity, which is what's happening out there. So again, the big thing is try to move in the morning if it's local. Make sure you do have a contract that you know they're giving you an estimate. They come and look at things and say, you know, a lot of them will go by the hour. You can work with the hour, but you have to make sure they're not charging you percentage charges on top of it, any hidden fees. Also, they should ask you if you want to take out insurance. You definitely should take out insurance, even for a short move. And again, across state lines, you have more federal regulations that apply to you too. And so now I'm flipping it back to you, Gail. I just wanted to mention these things because you don't think it. We always hear that it'll never happen to me, and it can happen. It can happen so easily. So
absolutely. One thing I was gonna add here was, especially with a long distance move, you want to insist on an on-site estimate. Today, most things are done on the internet, and you give them an estimate of, I have one bedroom, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, four bedrooms, and based on that, they draw up an estimate, and that estimate is actually not accurate. And then what happens is, because it's an estimate, and when you agree to it and they come in and they do your move, then you are, you're exposed to the extra charges that they put on. So it's really important to get the on-site estimate. Also, you can request, if you're dealing with the mover like I am, you can request boxes. They will bring some boxes to you. The other thing that I did was I had a notebook, or I have a notebook, and on each one of the boxes that I packed, I've listed the contents of the box in the notebook, and I've also made a general label for the box of the content with a corresponding number, box number.
That's great.
So that, and where the box is going to, where it's going to, in the house and so forth. So that when you get to your move and you have all of these boxes, you know that box number 10, is going to the linen closet or whatever, but you
right,
can also look in your, you can also look in your notebook to see if that's a box that you want to unpack at that point in time. And some boxes, the ones that were important, I was trying to, make them extra special in terms of stars or whatever on the box. So, you have to try to recognize on the other end of things that, it's one thing to get everything boxed up, but then it's another thing when you get, to your destination, you don't want to just have a heap of a mess, and then it just takes you so long to,
right.
And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that it would be my recommendation that you don't go with the cheapest mover. You go with the mover who
only because
is going
of
to
it,
include.
Yeah.
You include tape. They include taping. They include the blankets. They include. If something needs to be shuttled, they include free storage if you need it. The other thing I was
Good
told
idea.
Is that depending on the time of the year that you move, you're going to get a better rate. The rates are higher beginning in, I think, May through the summer. So if you can plan your move and you can even give them a date you know, ahead of that, you're going to get a better price, and you can ask for that, because if you ask, sometimes they will just, you know, they will just, you know, accommodate that, you know, because they think you know better. And if they don't think
we,
you know
I love
better,
that.
obviously they're going to, you know, they're going to try
that.
To
ask,
take advantage. Yeah, you have to just ask
for
everything.
You know, the more time you have to pack, to do things, to do it, it's going to be a much more pleasant move. And if you have children, you know, we've written things in the past about children, how to make the move fun for the kids, to get them involved in packing the rooms. I mean, we go over that when people are children, they're selling the homes, to get them involved, to make it fun. It's not really almost bribing them, but giving them treats and making it, you know, having fun activities.
Oh.
And the more time you have, the better,
I wanted to just add one other thing. In terms of paying for your move, generally you need to reserve a date. And when you reserve a date, they require you to pay 20%. I would suggest highly that you do it by credit card. I use American Express because they're the best ones that protect the consumer. At the time of the first pickup or the second pickup, they require an additional 60%. It has to be. So by the time your things get onto a truck, you have now paid 80% of your move. The last 20% is paid to the driver upon arrival. So it's my recommendation that you pay by credit card so you have recourse in case something does not
go as planned.
The other thing,
I know this one company would only take cash or a credit card and wouldn't take a check. Yeah, very good, smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then let's see. The other thing is, by law, they are required to get your move. By the time they pick it up, they are required to get your things to your destination in 21 days.
However, interstate travel? Okay.
Yes, you're right. But they generally will give you a better estimated time of arrival. And, of course, again, you need to work with somebody that's going to give you 24 hours notice before your items arrive. And when you pay the final 20%, you cannot pay by credit card. You have to either pay in cash or a cashier's check from the bank. And then again, I suggest that you pay a cashier's check so you have, a copy, of the check.
I would never want
to
pay cash.
The movers generally, if they have to dismantle anything upon them picking it up, they will reassemble everything at the time of arrival, and you need to insist on that.
We are getting down to the end of the show. I just wanted to say this has been a pleasure having you on today. And
thank you.
Are you excited? Are you at the point? You're probably a couple of weeks away from
I'm starting to get really excited. So I'm moving to a beautiful place. It's going to be much, much simpler. And I've made a vow to myself, and I just kind of wanted to say something. Around Christmas time. I was shopping and I was looking at stuff and I said, how can I even think about buying anything? Because what is it going to cost me to move it?
Right. Exactly.
So, and I try to go forward with that kind of frame of reference now. You just want to kind of keep it simple, keep what you love, be with the people you love, and just let the other stuff is just stuff.
You did pet therapy. You did Gail Gourmet. So you have loads of cookbooks. I see where you lost 150 pounds reading cookbooks. A lot of the. What else did you do? Many, many things you did. Video photography.
I started vegan cooking. Kind of
here.
So you're
going to take all that with
you?
You're taking a little bit of that. You're taking things like that with you. You did aerobics.
I'm getting rid of. I have probably more than 5,000 cookbooks. And
oh,
I am in the process of giving them away. I've read most of them, and it's just time to pass it on.
Good for you.
Anyway.
Good for you.
Yeah.
This is it's such a the memories are so important. You know, I'm so glad we keep that
they
with us. And you're right. You know, it really is. Our life is, you know, we want the momentums, but there's so much stuff that we have that we can just part with, and it's not, and it still works.
Right. I mean, you know, we have to remember not to let what we own encumber us. You know, what we
own
should
well put.
kind of just make our life more pleasurable. But when it becomes a responsibility and a burden, you know, it really takes away from, you know, the quality of life that God wants us to have. And I try to always keep that front and center. And, you know, I've really prayed through this whole process that God will put in my path, put the people in my path and, you know, the resources in my path to kind of get this done. Because, you know, if you allow yourself to be overwhelmed, you know, you're always going to just be under a tire. And,
absolutely.
You know, and if you keep God front and center, you know, no matter what the obstacle, what the problem, what the trouble, you know, you will always be able to get through it because He carries
you. And we can enjoy the journey. I want to
exactly.
have you with you. I want to get you back. We want to get you back on when you get to the other place too, to see how the move went and
oh,
see
boy.
How these movers did. Get back
that
in there.
That would be great.
So that'll
can
be
I
fun.
Just say
so
one thing
everybody,
about
we're cutting
about
off. It'll
you.
Cut us off. But go ahead. It'll cut off. I think. But go ahead.
Just
it'll,
that,
I just don't want
that
it to cut
you
us
reminded
on
you reminded me to savor the memories, and
aww,
I think that was a beautiful thing that you said. So that people need to savor the memories and just move on. So thank
oh,
you for having
somebody
me today.
Somebody was rushing you through it, right? And I said, no, don't let them rush you because
exactly.
your memories want to savor it. Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think that was important to say.
Yeah, I've moved a lot of times, and I remember you sit down and you look at things. But it was so great having you on. We'll have to have you back when you
okay.
come on the other side and see how that goes. To everybody
okay.
out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.